Miss our kids right now to Children's Church. Miss Tony is in the back of the sanctuary. Miss Tony, could you wave at everybody? She's going to take your kids. She's going to take them down the hallway to the fellowship hall, and she's going to teach them about the love of God and maybe the love of a smack up. No, I'm just joking. Well, it's good to see everybody here. I'm going to move some stuff down front. Hopefully without breaking anything. I want to start off this morning with an illustration, and then I'm going to share some things that me and Rebecca got to do, and something that really kind of caught our attention this week. But I want to start with this. In this illustration, I want the glass to represent you, and I want the bowl to represent everything that goes on in your life. The stress of your life, the hard things that go on, family issues, work issues, just everything that you have to pour into during the week. We'll let the water represent God. I want you to ask you this morning just to kind of think of these two illustrations, which one best describes my life. The first illustration would be we come to church and we receive some of the provision of God, but then as the week comes on and as everything in our week calls for our attention, and we just pour and we just pour and we just pour into all the family issues and the work issues and the job issues, and then we're dry. And we just kind of wait till the next Sunday when we can maybe get a little bit more or have a little bit more, and nothing seems satisfied and the issues keep crying out to us. But it feels like we're living our life empty. The second illustration I want you to see is, I think, the better way, and I think it's how God wants us to be. And that's where we allow God to fill us up, and then through the overflow of what God has given us, all the issues and the problems and the hurts in our lives are taken care of, and we're still full. Which one are you? Which one? If I just ask, you know, on a typical week, and, you know, not the Bible or the Sunday school answer that you might want to give, but if we were just being honest in here in this morning, on a typical week, do you feel empty and the problems not taken care of? Or do you feel full and are you working out of the overflow? This week, Rebecca and I had just the wonderful opportunity to get away for a week. We didn't know a lot about it. I had read about this group that was called Double Honor, and they honored pastors and their wives. And it was an all-expense-paid trip to Arlington. Well, you know, the destination wasn't, you know, the point, but just the fact that for a pastor, you know, you didn't have to pay anything. You didn't have to worry about anything. They were going to take care of all the food, all the staying over, the, you know, anything. And then you could tell from the schedule, it wasn't one of these ones where you were going to go and just have preacher after preacher after preacher just, you know, talk to you. And I love conferences like that, but this was a little bit more laid back. Well, Rebecca and I, we knew it was something good, and knew it was something we wanted to do, but we didn't know what it was going to be. And so as we were getting ready on Friday, and, you know, to be gone for a week, you have to make sure everything is taken care of. For me, the laid-back guy, you know, if it doesn't get taken care of, something will happen. But for Rebecca, who's very organized, she had to make sure all her class was covered and all the things with the girls were covered. And it became kind of stressful getting ready for it. And then, did y'all see the weather this weekend? Yeah, all of a sudden we went from 70 degree days to raining, and you know, we looked at the forecast, it was supposed to be in the 40s in Dallas, and I remember on Sunday when we were getting the last preparations to leave out on Monday morning, we just said, should we do this, right? You know, it's so stressful getting the kids where they're supposed to be, making sure everything's covered. Then we're going to get up there, and it's going to be raining the whole time, and we're going to be with four or five other pastor couples, and we don't know what they're going to be like, and we don't know where we're staying. You know, is this, maybe we shouldn't go. We were honestly thinking this. Maybe we just shouldn't go. But we decided to go. And so we took off for Arlington, and we arrived at just this beautiful home. And it was a home built by this family that I don't know where their money came from, but they had horse stables. They had their large house. But then they built a separate, just huge home. To nothing. The entire purpose of the home was for ministry. And they decorated the home with antiques. And there was this winding staircase going up to this second floor where all the bedrooms were, and antique furniture in all the rooms. It was just so beautiful. And then we came down for our first dinner, and they told us what the conference was going to be about. Now, we had thought, oh, if it's raining, we're going to carry all our stuff. I said, I've got stuff where I can call visitors this week, and I can work on my Bible study for this week, and I can do this for this week. And, you know, I had all this stuff. And Rebecca, she's a school teacher, so she had like three bags. And she said, you know, I could work on lesson plans. This will be a good week. And after that first session, we just put it all away. I want to share with you today that thing that they told us that first night that just caught my attention so much. And I think it has something to do with this. I think it has something to do with how we're living our lives. So I want to share with y'all today from Exodus, way over in the Old Testament, in chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. For those that, you know, have been in Sunday school, you're going to know that's the Ten Commandments. And so we're going to start there today, and I want to look at a commandment that sometimes we overlook. While y'all turn there, I'm going to just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just ask that during this time, God, you just open our minds, open our hearts, God, just to receive a word from you this morning. And God, right now, I know in this congregation, God, there's people that are hurting. Father, they're on empty right now. And God, I just pray that you will fill them up today and give them the ability to continue to be full all during the week. Amen. All right, guys, so we're going to look at Exodus chapter 20. We know the Ten Commandments. Y'all know those. We're going to look specifically at the fourth commandment, and that's verse number 8. So if you're there, verse number 8, we'll read that first sentence. It says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when I go over the Ten Commandments, you know, I don't ignore that commandment. Usually where my mind goes when I hit remember the Sabbath and keep it holy is you need to be in church on Sunday. Yeah, you know, that's kind of that thought. You know, here, I have no other gods before me. Don't have any idols in your life. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. And then number 4 is get your hind into church. Now, I'm all for it. I think you do need to be in church on Sunday. I think that's an important thing to be with God's people. I think there are specific scriptures that talk about spending time with God's people and being in a place where you're learning about God. But as we open this passage on that Monday morning, it really hit me that that's not what it's about. I want to read the rest of that to you. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals. I didn't even know animals work, but nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Did y'all hear what it was about? Yeah. Why is it holy? Because he said, you're supposed to rest. Keeping the Sabbath day is this. It's saying, I'm going to take one day a week and I'm going to put away all the other stuff in my life and I'm going to rest. And in that resting, there's going to be blessings. And the opposite of it, because, I mean, we all know the Ten Commandments, we're not saved by the Ten Commandments. Our salvation comes through our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But the Ten Commandments, I think it's very safe to say that if we follow the Ten Commandments, we're going to see blessings, right? And if we don't follow the Ten Commandments, we're going to see consequences. It's very easy on all the other commandments. You don't have to really fight with too many Christians to get the other commandments. Them go, yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, did any of y'all think that we should have anything in front of God? No problem with that. Anybody think maybe we should have some idols sitting around that, you know, every once in a while we just kind of bow down to this idol or that idol? Yeah, we don't have a problem with that. Taking the Lord's name in vain, very popular in the culture today, but I think if we just really came to it and said, do you want to lessen the name of God in your language? I think we'd all say, no, that's a bad idea. You know, skip over to number 5, honor your parents. And you know, we'll tell that to kids especially. I think it's good for us older people too, but especially, you know, the Bible talks a lot about rebellious children and that honoring your mother and your father. I think we're all for that. Anybody here think you should kill? You know, nobody's going to go out of here. You know, we live under grace. It's okay to kill. Is that right? I mean, no. I mean, we know that we should not kill because there is a consequence for killing. Adultery, covetousness, lying, stealing. We don't have trouble with any of those commandments, but I bet if I ask you right now, how many of y'all think it's just as important as not killing someone to take a day and rest? You might step back from that one a little bit, right? You know, here's the interesting thing. Do y'all know what the longest explanation of one of the commandments is? It's this one, right? It's the longest. I mean, God knew it. God knew that you weren't going to have a trouble with that commandment, do not kill. I mean, you know, some people might have trouble. We all know generally it's okay. But when God says, you need to take a day of rest, he said, I better explain this one. I better let you know that not only is it important, it was important for me, God said. I took a rest. And if I need to take a rest, you need to take a rest. Why is it so important to have a Sabbath rest? Why is it so important to not think about work one day? Why is it so important not to think about all the worldly things that are taking all our time and all our energy? Isn't it important that on every day that we're worried about all this stuff? Well, I'm going to give you some reasons today. The first thing I want to tell you is that there are reasons that God said to rest. There's reasons that God said to rest. I'm going to give you 2 points under that one, then we're going to talk about a few other things. The first reason that is important for us as Christians to embrace this idea of having a day of rest is this. It gives God the opportunity to provide for us supernaturally. It gives God the opportunity to provide for us supernaturally. You see, if we don't take a rest, this modern culture we live in, you know, if you're connected to your work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, isn't it true? I mean, email. You got email coming in. You got text coming in. And you get this thought of, if I'm not always connected, if I'm not there when someone needs me, if I'm not there instantly when that email comes in, that it's not going to work. And God says, hey, you know what? If you take a day of rest, you're going to allow me to provide for that. You're going to trust me that on that day, I can take care of what's happening. I want to show you scriptures, just a few over. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. We're going to start in verse number 23. Exodus 23 is talking about when God provided for the people of Israel when they were wandering around in the wilderness. And y'all remember the manna that came down? Y'all remember that? It was God's supernatural way that he provided for the people of Israel. And in verse 23 he said to them,
this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil, save whatever is left and keep it until morning. So they saved it until morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. You remember some of them tried to get enough for the whole week. And if you saved it or any other day of the week, really any other day, on Tuesday if you gathered double, the manna would start stinking. But for some reason on Saturday, if you gathered double, it would stay fresh the next day. He said, eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground. Now, isn't that interesting? He said, on my Sabbath, you're not going to be able to go out and find any of my provision. He said, I want you to rest. He said, I'm going to provide my provision the day before. I'm going to miraculously provide it the day before. But on that day, you're not going to find any provision. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. He said, on that Sabbath day, he said, I'm not going to provide for you on that day. I'm going to provide on another day. You know, this is interesting. We get into this thought, right, that, you know, I've got to work on Sunday. I've got to keep things moving. I got to do this and I got to do this, because if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. But it says here that on days that are supposed to be Sabbath, God isn't providing. So how are you getting things done? You're getting them done out of your own power. Right? You're getting them done out of your own strength. He said, if you'll take the Sabbath rest, watch this. It says, so they saved it to morning, eat today. He said, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day. Some of them said, okay, God, you sure, we'll do that. But then on the seventh day, on the sixth day, they didn't double collect. And on the seventh day, surely God's going to provide today. But they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? And that God's getting mad because they didn't take a rest day. You think God gets mad at us because we don't take a rest day? I think God kind of looks at us and goes, why aren't you doing what I told you? I mean, this isn't something hard. You know, this isn't saying, you know, run 20 miles today or go and do something incredible. He's saying, I want you to take a break. I just want you to trust me today. He said, well, how long are you not going to do that? Refuse to keep my instruction. Bear in mind, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the 6 days he gives you bread for two. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. It's an incredible verse. What I want y'all to hear today is that God says this. God says, I'm going to provide for you. And if you'll trust me and not try to provide for yourself on this day, you're going to see my miraculous provision. Deuteronomy chapters 5 says is also another part where you see the Ten Commandments. And in there, it says you're supposed to observe the Sabbath. You're supposed to remember the Sabbath and observe it. You're supposed to do what God has told you. There's a real neat part in Deuteronomy chapter 5 where God explains why you're supposed to observe. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 5, observe the Sabbath because you were once slaves, but I have delivered you. Isn't that interesting? How many of you sometimes feel like you're a slave to your work? You ever feel like you're a slave to all the problems in your life? You feel like, you know, I'm just so chained down to that. And here's what God says, you know, when you were a slave, you didn't get a day off. You know, in that time, slaves didn't get a day off. You know, same thing the next day and the next day. The people that got a day off were people of wealth, that had certain prestige. They got a day off. And here's what God's saying. He said, I want you to get out of that slave mentality and get into the mentality that you're a child of the King. And take a day off. And trust me. You see, when we live life like this, we're saying, I'm just slave.
And I can do this. I'll just keep on working and keep on working and keep on working. But when we live the life like this, we're saying, you know, I trust the overflow, God. I trust it.
Does that really work? You know, will God really provide? I think it's kind of like tithing, and this isn't a tithing sermon, so nobody get up and leave. But, you know, when we talk about tithing, here's what we say. We say, you know, God can do more in my life with 90% of my money. He can help me do more with 90% of my money if I'll give him 10% than I can do by myself with 100% of my money. And it's the same way with our time. God can do more with 6 days if you give it to him, if you give him that seventh day, then you can do working as hard and slaving as hard as you can for 7 days. What can God do in 6 days? You know, look around you, right? He can create the universe in 6 days. He can create the entire world, the entire galaxy, you know, everything. And we're worried, right, that he's not going to take care of our problems if we take that one day of rest. I love Chick-fil-A. Anybody a Chick-fil-A fan out here? Chick-fil-A is just a wonderful example. I know, you know, not every example. I mean, there's lots of businesses that are run poorly, that, you know, try to, you know, take a Sunday off or something like that. Maybe they don't. But Chick-fil-A is a wonderful example of a company that just says, we're not going to open on Sundays. How many of you have ever gone and said, hey, I think I want to go get a sandwich, and you drive to Chick-fil-A, and all of a sudden it hits you, it's Sunday. Yeah, and you go, ah, why are they closed on Sunday? But here's the neat thing, is that Chick-fil-A, if you look, there's a company that does how much gross income per store do fast food restaurants make. There's like 50 different fast food restaurants ranked on this. Do y'all know what the number one per store gross income leader is in the fast food industry? Chick-fil-A. Do y'all know what the number one day they say they make the most money, most restaurants make the most money on? Sunday, actually. So Chick-fil-A says, I'm going to eliminate the number one day, but they're still the number one grossing restaurant. Here's their statement. We want to give our employees a day of rest and worship. They said, we know Sunday, we can make a lot of money on Sunday, but we're going to trust God to do more in 6 days than we can do in 7 days. It's not even close. Chick-fil-A, $4 million per store a year in gross income. The next closest is McDonald's at $2.5 million. The average fast food restaurant, $1 million gross income. That's Wendy's and Burger King and Whataburger. Some of them open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And Chick-fil-A beats the average fast food restaurant by four times the amount. Because they said, we're going to take a Sabbath rest. We're going to believe this commandment that we will be blessed if we do that. I said there was two things that God said. God pointed out two different things on the why we need to do it. You know, the first one was because we would see God's supernatural provision. And wouldn't that be neat if all of a sudden you started taking a Sabbath rest and you saw God doing something? And just think of how encouraging that would be to see God taking care of your business, God taking care of your family, God giving you more time during the week than you used to have. Then second thing is, it gives us an opportunity to be rested and refreshed. It gives us an opportunity to be rested and refreshed. Can I tell you, living life like that is so tiresome. It just wears you out. You're just so empty all the time. I want to take you to a few chapters the other direction. Exodus chapter 31. In Exodus chapter 31, it says this. Let me open it up. It's verse 14. In verse 14 of 31, open up for me. It says, observe the Sabbath. And then here's this word, because. He said, I'm going to tell you the reason why. Here's another reason why you need to observe the Sabbath. Because it's holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. Man, that's pretty big, right? God said, he said, this is so important. And listen, we're not under the punishment of death. We'll talk about that in just a second. But God did say this. He said, I want you to understand, I'm not joking about this. You need to rest. You need to have a Sabbath day. He said, they will be put to death. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people. For 6 days, work is to be done. But the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for generations to come as a lasting covenant. Did y'all pick that up? He said, Israel is to always, as a lasting covenant. Listen, we were brought into the people of Israel. You know, we're God. You know, when we accepted Jesus Christ, we become part of that chosen family. And so I think this speaks to us. It's a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now, as a theologian, that's kind of hard, isn't it? Why would God need to be refreshed? You know, here we have the omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing Jehovah God. But for some reason here in the scripture, it says he rested and was refreshed. If you look at this word in the Hebrew, and you look at, and you try to find what the meaning, here's what the literal word means, the word refreshed. It means to breathe in. Have you ever done like, just let me get a breath? You ever done that? It's that thought of just breathing in. And I think this, as you think about that, what was God doing for 6 days? He was working. He was creating. How did God create the world? He spoke it. He breathed it out. In fact, Psalms 33 says he breathed out the starry host. And it's like for 6 days he's breathed, he breathed, he created. And on the seventh day he went, and he was refreshed. You see, the reason that we need to grab this is that we need to be refreshed. You know, it's a beautiful thing. If you ever, you know, talk to people at Chick-fil-A, you know, that's the one question that non-Christians have. They go, why don't you open on Sunday? Why don't you do this? What does that give them as an employee if they're a Christian? What does that give them the opportunity to do? To rest, but it also gives them an opportunity to share the gospel, doesn't it? Well, let me tell you, because my God told me to. Your God told you to. And then, you know, if we all did that, what if on Sunday we just kind of made it a habit of saying Sunday, or really it could be any day, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but we could rest. How many people in our community would be, you know, saying, well, why are y'all doing that? Why did you choose to do that? And it suddenly opens the door, not only for you to be refreshed, but for you to refresh other people. Isn't that refreshing? You know, what does that look like? You could follow a Jewish family today on a typical Sabbath. They'll worship. They'll eat. They'll spend time together. They'll walk. They'll play games. They'll eat. They'll have leisure times. They'll nap. They'll study more about the Torah. They'll eat again. It sounds like Thanksgiving once a week, doesn't it? You know, enjoying family, eating, worshiping God. Wouldn't that be refreshing every week to say, I'm going to cut out some time just to make that happen? So why don't we do it? Why don't we do that? Here's the point number two. So point number one is God says there's two things. You know, those two things we talked about, that it's, you know, that it gives God a chance supernaturally to do things for us and it refreshes us. Here's point number two. Point number two is if we don't do it, there's consequences. If we don't do it, there are consequences. Numbers, which is Exodus Numbers 15:32. I want you to hear this because this is so interesting. Exodus 15:32. And verse 32 is right here. While the Israelites were in the wilderness, a man was found gathering wood on the Sabbath day. So he's out in the wood and he's picking up sticks. Those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moses and Aaron in the whole assembly, and they kept him in custody because it was not clear what should be done with him. So they had guards around him because you know why? He'd been gathering sticks. Who knows what a person like that might do? It sounds silly to us, right? It sounds silly to us that because he's out gathering sticks on the Sabbath, they get a guard to watch him while they go and ask Moses, what should we do with this guy? And it says, then the Lord said to Moses, this man must die. The whole assembly must stone him outside the camp. So the assembly took him outside the camp and stoned him to death as the Lord commanded Moses. And we all go, oh my goodness. Once again, God's serious about this. But B, I want you to hear something. Although that bothers us to say this, that he was stoned for gathering sticks. You know, really when he was gathering sticks, he's a Jewish person. He knew this. He was kind of going, I don't trust God. And I don't care what God says. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Listen, when we enter into that attitude where we don't trust God and we say, I don't care what you say, God, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. We may not be stoned by the congregation, okay? Trust me, if you're a guest here today, we are not going to stone you. But can I ask you this? By not taking a Sabbath rest, are you killing yourself? Are you slowly just depleting yourself so much that you don't have anything to give? And are you killing yourself by not doing this? Are there consequences to that? In 2 Chronicles 36:21, let me turn over to 2 Chronicles 36:21. There's a real interesting verse. I lost it. There we go. 1 Chronicles, I think 2 Chronicles comes right after it. Yep. 36:21. And it says this, should have marked this one, 36:21. The land enjoyed its Sabbath rest all the time. The land enjoyed its Sabbath rest. All the time of the desolation it rested until the 70 years were completed in the fulfillment of the word of the Lord spoken to Jeremiah. Okay, so that's a little bit out of context. Let me tell you what's going on here. The people of Israel, for 490 years, they were in Israel, in that part of the country, their own nation. And the Lord said this. He said, your land needs a rest, just like you need a rest. And you're supposed to farm for 6 years. And on the seventh year, you were supposed to just leave it bare, let it rest, and trust that God was going to provide for you in those 6 years. You're supposed to store up. Seventh year, let it rest and keep on going. The people of Israel stopped doing this. For 490 years, they didn't allow the land to have the Sabbath rest until God finally said, I'm going to put you into captivity until the land has enjoyed its Sabbath rest for all those ones you've missed over 490 years. God said, it's so important that I'm going to move you out of the way for a little while because my word is important even for the land. I didn't know land could enjoy something. But God said, they're going to enjoy that. Listen, let me ask you this. If you got away with something for 490 years, do you think maybe you kind of go, I'm not going to have any consequences from this? But after that 490 years, God said, that's enough. And here comes the consequences of it. And you might be sitting there going, Blake, listen, I haven't taken a Sabbath rest in 20, 30, 40 years. And I just keep on going. God doesn't mind. And I'm going to tell you this. God's word is true. And there'll be consequences. And it might be health consequences. It might be relationship consequences. It might be, I don't know what consequences, but there will be consequences for not doing what God has told you to. It'll catch up with you. Why can't we just accept this gift? Why can't we just accept it? Yeah, I read something one time about dehydration. Have y'all read about dehydration?
This book I read said that the entire America, all the people in America, 90% of us are walking around dehydrated. We don't drink enough water. And I don't know about you, but when I think I'm dehydrated, that's when I'm thirsty, right? And I go, oh, I'm thirsty, I better go get a glass of water. But they said, what we don't realize is thirst isn't the only thing, the only thing, that the red flag that we need to see. That there's so many problems that we face because we don't drink enough water. And some of the ones I wrote down was exhaustion is a sign of chronic dehydration. A fuzzy-mindedness, not being able to focus, is a sign of chronic dehydration. Inability to sleep is a sign of chronic dehydration. Hunger is actually a sign of dehydration because your body's going, maybe I can at least get the water out of the food. And so there's a hunger that comes from dehydration. And I just kind of thought of it like this as I was reading about this and going, God, I don't think this rest idea is such, I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything because I'm not taking the Sabbath rest. But then I thought about that dehydration example, and I was going, I would have never known that it just pushed out into every area of my life. And I think the Sabbath rest is the same way. We don't even understand how much our life is affected because we're going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and never just saying, God, I trust you, and I'm going to take a rest. There was a story of a pastor one time, and another pastor called him and said, hey, can we go have lunch next week? And he said, sure, when do you want to do it? He said, what about Thursday? You got anything on your calendar for Thursday? He looked, he said, yep, nothing. And he said, good, then I'm going to meet you Thursday and let's go out for lunch. He said, no, you don't understand. I've got nothing planned on Thursday. He said, yeah, I heard what you said. There's nothing on Thursday, so it'd be a great day for you and me to get together. He said, no. He said, listen to me. Thursday, I have planned a day for nothing. It's my Sabbath day. And he said, I won't have lunch with you. And the guy said, really? You won't have lunch with me? He said, yeah. He said, I found out, I'm 55 years old right now. He said, "In when I was 40 years old, I ended up in the hospital. My kidneys failing, my system shutting down. The doctors could think of nothing except complete and total exhaustion from the work I was doing in the ministry. And he said, from that day on, he said, as I prayed to God and God revealed Sabbath rest to me, he said, I planned a day for nothing. And he said, I can't do Sunday. He said, I can't even do Saturday. But he said, Thursday from now on, I have my secretary write on there that I'm booked all day long with nothing. And so they met at another time, and he shared that view of what that is to do that. Yeah, can we do that? Yeah, I want you to hear this. Here's the third and final point, and it says that Sabbath is supposed to be a blessing for you. It's a blessing. It's not something, oh, I've got to do this. It's supposed to be a blessing. We see that in Mark chapter 2. Y'all remember that? The disciples were out, and all of a sudden they were walking through this field, and they just decided to snap some top off some wheat. And it was the Sabbath day, and some of the Pharisees, the legalistic people, were going, hey, you just did work on the Sabbath? And on 2:23, it says this. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples walked along, and they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to them, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? And he answered, have you never read what David did when him and his companions were hungry and in need? In the day of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And I tell you that because, I want you to know we're living under grace, right? That Jesus died and paid the penalty for our sin. But what Jesus was saying there wasn't, don't participate in the Sabbath. He said, I want you to hear this. You were created, and then God made this beautiful thing called Sabbath rest. He didn't make you for the Sabbath. He made the Sabbath for you. And so he said, it's not the legalism. It's not the, you're going to get, you have to do this. It's the, you should desire to have this gift from God. So what do you do on a Sabbath rest? It's kind of the wrong question. And we don't have enough time really to go through, hey, this is how you do it. Let me start with this one thought. What do you not do on your Sabbath rest. You do nothing that has anything to do with your work. You let it go. You completely let it go. Now, can I work out in the garden? If that brings you joy, yeah, work out in the garden. You know, can I go golfing? If that brings you joy, you know, if that's how you commune with God, if your wife's okay with it, go golfing. But what it is to say, I'm going to take a day, and in that day, I'm going to find ways to commune with God, whatever that is, just saying, God, thank you. Have fun on a Sabbath. It's not about just sitting around and reading scriptures. It's all day. It's about saying, God, I'm just going to accept your rest and focus on the love of God. This week at the pastor's retreat that we did, we talked about this stuff every night. We tried to experience it every day. A rainy day is really good for rest. And me and Rebecca, we got to rest a lot. But I found this on Tuesday and on Wednesday. I did a silly thing. And when we would come down for our teaching time and for our fellowship with the other pastors, I brought my cell phone. And it's a habit of mine. When I sit down to eat, I sit down. And as I sit down, I reach in my pocket and I pull out my phone and I set it on the table while I'm eating. Part of it's because I just don't like it in my pocket. You know, I'm kind of fat and it's kind of tight right there. But part of it is somebody might try to get a hold of me. And I want to have my phone right there. And I noticed, you know, as the week went on that nobody else was bringing their phone. As we were talking about having time where we can just focus on God and not on our work. And I can't tell you how many times on Tuesday and Wednesday. In fact, on Tuesday, I had someone try to steal my identity. And Capital One sent me an email saying someone was trying to use my credit card number and just canceled my cards and was sending a new card to New Jersey. And I immediately disconnected from worshiping God and ran outside to call Capital One. And on Wednesday, I was still doing it. On Thursday, it hit me. God can take care of that. And so I left my phone in my room all day long. And I just said, God, if anything emergency happens, I said, Eric can take care of it here. If anything happens with my family, you know, I think, you know, at 7, 8 o'clock, I'll look at that and check that. And here's the craziest thing. The world didn't end. I really thought I was that important. Really? I mean, I really thought if I didn't have that phone with me and instantly being able to reply and instantly... And I was refreshed. And we came out of that week, and Sydney, our daughter, called us, and she said, Daddy, I've got an opportunity to go to a worship thing in Fort Worth. And she said, but I've got all this homework to do, and I think it might be best just to skip it. What do you think? And I said, Sydney, I said, you need to just ask God what he wants you to do. And not worry about your work, but trust that he'll give you the time to study. But drink in every bit of God that you have the opportunity to at this retreat. Because me and your mom just did that. And through the overflow of what I got, I was able to share with my daughter to say, rest. It'll be okay. It'll be there on Monday. Which life do you want to live? The empty cup? Or the full cup. I think step one is to say, God, I'm going to have a day of rest. It may not be Sunday. It might be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't know. It might be Saturday for you. But I'm telling you this. God said, do it. And there's consequences, but there's incredible blessings by allowing God to fill you up and refresh you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just want to thank you so much for just this thought of refreshing, of resting, of trusting you. And God, I just pray for every person here that as they're dealing with this in their own life, God, that you would just give them wisdom. You would give them courage. You give them the ability to know what to do. God, I know your word says if an emergency comes up, if your ox is in a ditch, God, we could take care of stuff like that. But God, help us not think about the exceptions, God, help us think about just having a day where we enjoy your blessings and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.